Good morning, and an especially warm welcome to anybody who's visiting or who's here for the first time. We're delighted to have you with us and hope you'll join us for tea or coffee in the Mayo Hall after the service. Congratulations to Peter, Georgina, Ray and Rose for raising £610 on their Circle the City walk last Sunday. And a thank you from them to everybody who sponsored them. Don't forget, or make a mental note now, or if you've made a note already, underline it in red in your diary, for the church day, which takes place a fortnight today, on Sunday the 12th of June. If you don't have one already, you'll find a stock of coloured flyers at the back of the church, so please do take one. And finally, Peter Ashdown's walking group has a visit to the Albert Hall on Monday the 13th of June, excuse me, for a front of house and backstage tour. And there have been a couple of cancellations, so if you would be interested in a ticket, please speak to Peter after the service. That's on Monday the 13th of June.
I knew this was going to happen. Up we come. James. James Fells has been a faithful member of this community for 20 years. And now the time has come where they're moving. Heartfelt, sad Oz. Dear. James has led us and has led worship here many times and has led worship in other places, which I feel is on our behalf. So James, I want to pray with you. So let's pray. We ask, O God, that you would bless James and Joanna as they move to a new home. May they settle in easily. Bless them in their life in new church communities and with their neighbours. We give you thanks for all that they have given to the life of this church and for the ministry that James has conducted here and in other local United Reformed churches. Bless them, Lord Jesus, in their family life. May they be protected by you and blessed by you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Come, let us worship God. Grace is God's gift, a sacred gift, a growing gift. Grace is our gift to be cherished and honored by friend and by stranger, now and forever, a hope for the world. We join to sing, All My Hope on God is Founded. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Creator God, source of life and giver of love, we praise you for all that you are. You have brought us from the places that would trap us into your holy place, where we can grow and flourish. We come with thanksgiving, for there have been times when we have been laid low. We turned to you, and you did not reject us, but reached out with salvation. With all creation, we praise you, the one who gives us life. With all creation, we sing your song, the song of hope and celebration. With all creation, we wait on your word, the word of grace and transformation. Open us now to all that you are. Strengthen us now to hear your wisdom. Bless us now with your grace and mercy. Gracious God, for all that you have done for us, what have we to show to you? We have been too quick to be angry, too slow to share grace, too ready to judge. We have been too reluctant to welcome. Forgive us. We have been cautious when we should have told others about you. We have been insensitive to the ways that we have spoken of you. Give us time to amend our ways and to revel in your grace. Here are words that we can trust. Christ Jesus came and lived among us, revealing the truth of God's love and grace. Those who feel they have no hope, he has called by name. He says, "We are forgiven." He also says, "Follow me." Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into So with me, please, so I'm not on my own. Jesus says, put your hands on your head. Jesus says, put your hands on your shoulders. Jesus says, tap your knees. Jesus says, click your fingers. Jesus says, put your hands on your head. Jesus says, put your hands on your shoulders. Jesus says, tap your knees. Jesus says, click your fingers. Jesus said, put hands on your head. Jesus said, put hands on shoulders. Jesus said, put hands. Take your fingers. Jesus says, put hands on your head. But sometimes we think, I wonder exactly what he means by head. I wonder exactly what that means. Jesus says, put hands on shoulders. And we say, do I really have to? And Jesus says, tap your knees. And we think, everybody else should tap their knees, but I'm not tapping my knees. That was a teaching for a long time ago. Not knee tapping, it's nothing to do with me. Jesus says, click your fingers. And we think to ourselves, I can't click my fingers as well as everybody else can click their fingers. So I'm not going to click my fingers at all. Hey, I'm by myself here, come on. And Jesus says, let me see your best hands on your head. Let me see your best hands on your shoulders. Let me see the best that you can do tapping your knees. And let me see the best that you can do clicking your fingers. The best that you can do. And that will be good for me, he says. Let's pray. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do what we know you want us to do. Help us to do it as well as we can. In your name we pray. Amen. Whose is the phone? Whoa. We're going to sing. We're going to sing while somebody grabs into their bag. Give me joy in my... dives in their pocket. Give me joy in my heart. We join to sing. Pardon? Yeah. This is the first passage. By the time this was written, we're probably into a time of persecution in the early church. The writer advises the Christians to ensure that their lifestyle is beyond reproach, to be ready to defend the faith when someone asks, and at those times when they are brought to trial. And Georgina Forbes will read this first passage to us.
The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm reading from verses 13 to 22. Who will harm you if you're eager to do what is good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, how happy you are! Do not be afraid of anyone, and do not worry, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are insulted, those who speak evil of your good conduct as followers of Christ will be ashamed of what they say. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if this should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all, a good man on behalf of sinners, in order to lead you to God. He was put to death physically, but made alive spiritually, and in his spiritual existence, he went and preached to the imprisoned spirits. These were the spirits of those who had not obeyed God when he waited patiently during the days that Noah was building his boat. The few people in the boat, 8 in all, were saved by the water, which was a symbol pointing to baptism, which now saves you. It is not the washing away of bodily dirt, but the promise made to God from a good conscience. It saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone to heaven and is at the right-hand side of God, ruling over all the angels and heavenly authorities and powers.
As a creature of habit, I shall be reading this from the Authorised Version, which I think does put the passage particularly well. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Amen.
Amen. The best Christian life requires effort. The best life requires effort, but sometimes some people have been sold a lie that when you become a Christian, when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, when you are a follower of Jesus, you know what you've got to do, you're in the groove, you just keep on going, you know what the ways, and it's just going to flow, and it's going to be lovely, and it's nonsense. The best Christian life requires that we are obedient to what we know God wants from us. That we do it. Now, sometimes we Christians, when we get together, we witter on about the problem of, and you know, I'm a witterer, we witter on about the problem of working out what is God's will. You know, what is God's will? How am I to know what is God's will? That is not the main problem. The main problem is, how can I get myself to do those things that I know God wants me to do? How can I get myself up in the morning? How can I stop myself drinking that, eating that, smoking that, spend time with that person, saying that, not doing this, keeping my money when I should be giving it away, or, you know, putting my money on a horse when I shouldn't be, whatever it is. How can I get myself to do those things that I know God wants me to do? Obedience is the challenge. To be obedient is what makes the heart of Jesus sore. What we need is to have that blessing of the Spirit on our lives, and then move into action. You could caricature Christianity as being in two camps. It's a lot more than that, and neither of these is true. One is, it's me, I'm worshipping, I'm singing songs, my hands are in the air, I'm full by the Spirit, and I'm full of joy and peace as one camp. And you could characterize the other as being, I'm busy doing good things. I'm running around doing good things, and I'm doing good things, and I'm doing good things, and I'm in the community, and I'm raising money, and I'm working, and this is indulgence. This is dry, unattractive religion. What actually needs to happen is that we need the Holy Spirit in us that moves us from the knowledge that we have been loved into a loving form of behavior. We need to know that we are loved, and that will transform us, and it will move us beyond ourselves into action. It is not enough just to know that you are loved. That's just not enough. That can easily become a dark, grisly, grotty cesspool of indulgence. Like it. Or you can have this dry, dull, excruciating thing that is no different from humanism. We need the two. And neither of these is true, actually, anyway. But the love that Jesus speaks of is not about emotion. It's not about feeling. It's the love that puts him on the cross. You know, he never woke up and thought, I feel like giving my life on the cross. No. He did it because he loved and recognized that that was what was needed in some way that we don't always understand. So loving, what does loving mean? Sometimes it means keeping your mouth shut. Sometimes it means speaking out. Sometimes it means doing things on behalf of somebody. Sometimes it means holding back from it. Sometimes it means tolerance. Sometimes it means speaking out. And how are you going to know? Well, that is also part of the obedience. If we are to be people who are doing what we believe God is asking us to do, then we need to spend time working that out. We need to do that as individuals. Now, I could say to you, what you need to do is get up earlier. Set your alarm clock earlier. Get up. Spend time reading your Bible, praying. That's maybe what you need. Now, that might work for you. But equally, you might not be that sort of person. Some people are evening people. Before you go to bed at night, reflect on the day. Where did it go well? Where did it go badly? Where is God nudging you for more? Where is God saying, stop that? You could be a person, actually that whole notion of spending time like that just doesn't work for you. So maybe you're a person who needs to think of God as you walk. You need to get the Bible into your headphones. You need to listen to some stuff on the radio, watch it on the telly. You cannot expect that you will be a growing, maturing Christian only from the time that you gather, we gather to worship. Those sorts of times educate us so that as things happen and we're left with choices, we can be more discerning and we can avoid the tricks that are waiting for us. That thing, that yellow flyer that you've all got this morning about the 12th of June, that is about us all spending time together as a community, for us as a people, working out what God requires of us as well as what God requires of us as individuals, for both are important. Obedience. The writer of the letter of Peter says that it's better to suffer for doing a good thing if that's what God requires of you. It's not the path of ease, but it is the path of joy. One of the other things that the writer says in that letter is that we need to be able to give account of what we believe generously. Graciously. Could you do that? Somebody says to you, I haven't seen you in ages. Let's have a coffee. Sunday morning, I'm around about 11, and you think, I can't make that. I'm sorry. Oh, what are you doing? I'm going to church. Oh. Oh, you're one of them, are you? Why do you go to church? And then you say, did I say church? Oh, sorry, I meant garden centre. And then you say, that, my friends, is something that you need to practice. You need to find somebody that you can practice it with. Because you need to be able, the letter says we need to be able to say it, but we need to be able to say it in a spirit of generosity. Not to be aggressive, not to be rude, not to be unkind, but we need to, so please find somebody and practice it. Say it in words. Because if it's never happened to you up till now, it will happen one day. To be able to give a good account of ourselves. That also is something that needs effort. It's going to take time to work out, to get the words right. For most of the time in British society, people are interested in our words. They're interested in our actions. They want to see what we're doing. They're watching us all the time. But sometimes you've got to say it. You've got to actually explain. You have got to say it in words. The other day, the street pastors were out, and one of them was accused of drinking on duty. He was walking around, the street pastor, with a bottle of, a beer bottle in her hand. And one of the door staff said, "That's pretty poor show, drinking on duty." Now, what the door person didn't know is the reason that the street pastor had a bottle in their hand was not so they could have a quick swig to keep in the party spirit and, while the night away with... No, because one of the things that the street pastors do is they pick up bottles. They remove weapons from the street, which is bits of glass. They pick up bottles. So, but this person looked at another human being who had a beer bottle in their hand and drew the reasonable conclusion, reasonable conclusion that it was their bottle and they were going to be drinking out of it. There are times when you actually have to say in words, oh no, we're street pastors. We have this bottle. We pick up all those bottles. We remove offensive weapons from the street. We count them. It's part of what we do. Oh, do you? Yes, we do. All fine and dandy. All good. We don't want to be people that walk around saying, look at me, I'm doing good. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. That's not who we are. But there are times when people can look at what we're doing and they need a word of explanation. Are we ready to offer it? Time when we need to speak out because people don't always understand. Of course, more times we need to be doing kind, generous things that people aren't thanking us for, but we do them because we are obedient, because we know they are what God requires of us, and they are not effortless, but they are what is right. And the best Christian life will involve us knowing the Spirit that transforms us on the inside and moves us into action. To avoid being like the person, I love you, I would catch a grenade for you, I would give my life for you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'll be round tomorrow if it's not raining. Let us be still and then we will pray. Your love, O God, is strong and wide. Your embrace is warm and reassuring. Your hope for us is more than we can see. God, may we know as firmly as we know anything that you love us so deeply, that you guide us so tenderly, that you are with us eternally. In this knowledge, may we rejoice and praise you forever in the way that we live obedient lives. Lord, we pray. Amen. Join to sing, There Is a Redeemer. things to do before our leaders in prayer. The first one, Gillian, up you get on your feet. There you go, great girl. This is Gillian. What surname are you using today? Gillian Hastings, who is new among us and is married how many weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Woohoo! Way! And the reason I did that is because as we pray, we'll pray for Gillian. What's your husband called? Nick. I knew, should have known that. And I've also got a request to pray for Irma, who needs a flat. So let us pray. Circle us, Lord. Circle the church with the light of the gospel, that we may understand more of our faith and why we believe it, may understand more of our doubt and not be obsessed with it. May we commit ourselves to following you in the small details of our lives, in this church community, in this particular time. Circle us, Lord. Circle us, Lord. Circle the nations of the world and give them the values of the gospel. Food for all, an end to war, education for children, tolerance and justice. Give to our national institutions the desire for fair representation, for concern for the weak. And may the sheer generosity of your presence infuse our world and empower those who seek to build your kingdom. Circle us, Lord. Circle us, Lord. Circle our family and our friends with the love of the gospel. Circle all those who are beginning new things. Circle Gillian and Nick in their married life together. Circle them, Lord. Keep love within. Keep danger out. Circle us, Lord. Circle all those who are homeless. Those those whose housing is not adequate. And circle Irma that she may find a flat in the Kingston area. Circle the sick and the bereaved with your healing presence. Those who are fearful, those who are in pain, those who are on their very last journey. Circle them with the healing presence of Christ. Circle us, Lord. Circle our hearts, our homes, our church, our nation, our world. For they are yours and loved by you. Keep peace within. Keep fear without. Keep light within. Keep darkness out. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's now make our offering. Let us pray. This offering is not of money alone. It is the offering of time, decisions, opportunities seized, love expressed, things organized. All of these, Lord Jesus, all these minutes and days, all these gifts and talents we offer to you, Bless them. In your name we pray. Amen. Gordon Moore's Choice, number 489, for those of you using books, Be Thou My Vision. Who has blessed us and called us here, be the God who is known to us as we leave this place and go and do what the Lord requires. For now, forever. Amen.
Hello. No. Where are you going?
When are you
going? You don't know.
I work.
That's what I'll do. I have no idea what.
What are you doing now then?
What am I not doing now?
You're doing lots of things.
Yes. I'm a TA. I'm a receptionist.
What's a
I'm
TA?
I'm a youth worker, a teaching assistant.
All right.
I'm a youth worker. I'm number two.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good.
Good. That's nice. Actually, teaching assistant's quite a job. Nice job to have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stuart,
I'm don't moan about doing lots because you could be bored doing nothing, couldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, I don't like being bored though.
No. No. Good. That's great.
Yeah.